If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is an awesome, beautiful day. Wayne, I woke up today. The sky was bluer. I just feel a freaking cloud nine. And now I get to talk to my dude, the Wayne Breezy. How you doing, Wayne? How's your day going, man?
It's going. it's going. A little nailly, but it's going. I mean, you wake up. You go to the gym, you do all the morning routines, you say, hey, I got some time to spare. Let me go get my truck washed. Know what I'm saying? And the one time I don't just go through the wash, it's like, you know what? Let me vacuum this mother freaker out for once. Let me put some tire shine on my tires because the sun is shining. And I go and look at my tires, it's a nail. And then I'm like, well, I got a nail. And my tires, I just paid for these tires. They should be unpenetratable, okay? I spent $2,000 on some tires. They should reflect nails. And then I got to wait on that. So now I got to eat Starbucks, shit I don't normally eat, right, or drink. And I'm waiting. And then you text me, hey, what time are we going live? I'm like, man, I don't know. I got a nail. And then I'm here. And then that's why I'm late. So it's on me. And then YouTube and StreamYard want to act stupid on my behalf. So make sure you guys are following and subscribed to the 49ers Rush channel.
There we go, man. But nothing's going to stop you, man. That's the thing. Like, working on all these draft evaluations, now this is like, this is the way in which I see the world, right? And so I'm like, oh, he's got a nail in his tire. Does a foot issue. Does that stop a player's draft grade? Oh, you spend first round draft capital on your new tires, but they're not protecting your quarterback, right? What do you do there? So we're going to be talking draft, roster, possible trade back in the draft. Want to talk a little bit to Dexter Lawrence. I know that's been out there really, really big. So got a lot of questions on that. We're going to dive into a lot of those things today. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that is here. I'm in a better mood because I finished my draft book, Wayne, which is like the most, I don't know, pressure I feel all year. 200 plus draft profiles, backgrounds, analytics, war room, everything is up. So if you guys would like, this is the 10th time we've done this. It's up on the 49ersrush.com and on our Patreon channel to any level subscription. You can go sign up for a free 7-day, download everything, and then cancel. Won't cost you a penny. But if you like what we do, that's how I pay the bills. Go check it out over there. Make sure you also take time to look up the Wayne Breezy over on the Patreon channel. He's always working hard and crushing it. Dude, your draft content, I got to let you know, I've gotten so many positive emails, comments, whatever, on the last mock draft we did. I don't know if I'm ever going to do a mock draft again, because every time I do a mock draft, people tell me my grandma's dumb. And then we do a mock draft together and everybody loves it. So we did a good mock draft.
I feel like we should do a one round mock draft at the end of this episode. Ooh. Just to get that pick 27 right. See how things fall. But no, John, I one day, maybe next year, because I like the publication stuff, and I rather give my time, my efforts to the Rush publication to help you with that. You know what I'm saying? Instead of, I don't want to do my own. I don't have the time, the mental capacity. So maybe we come together next year and you figure out a way that I can help you on your draft guide, because I do understand. It's a tough thing. It's a lot of work, a lot of unsleep, a lot of stuff that goes into it. And you're really watching a lot of players. And maybe I could focus on specific group and whatever and give you my insight. Just tell me how you need me to help out on that for the next go around.
Dude, I just feel like it's like the Power Rangers just like just like assembling. And yeah. You know, we've built a solid team, but
I'm
yeah,
on Voltron, but yeah, I get you. No.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to say, shout out to NY Niners, 49ers faithful forever, Brian Carter 99, Zach Ortiz. They were our draft brain trust this year. But yeah, man, we'll talk. We'll talk. So let's start right here. I've got a lot of Dexter Lawrence questions. And Crazy Juice right here says, I would like Dexter Lawrence, but I don't think that we're going to trade for him. So let's start with the prospect that is Dexter Lawrence. It's going to be a heavy draft show, but let's cover this. Demanding a trade once out. He's 28 years old. 49ers already traded for one 28-year-old defensive tackle, but Dexter Lawrence is a different beast. This is a behemoth of a man. 6'4", 342. He's put together quite the career. Now, last year was by far his least successful career or year in his – shoot, he's been playing for a little while, man. He came out in 2019. So what's he got? 3, 6, 7 years. Last year was his worst year of all 7 years combined. Is he a deteriorating asset? I don't know. The thing that sticks in my head is we were at the New York game. Mm-hmm. And Matt Hennessy gave him the business, held him to one tackle, no pressures. And then the very next week, Matt Hennessy gets benched. And the very first two run plays of the game, sure enough, Jake Brindle's guy makes the tackle. Like, you could hold Dexter Lawrence, no pressures, and whatever. Anyway, I digress. Dexter Lawrence is a great defensive tackle. What are your thoughts just on the fact that he's coming off his worst year despite having three first-round edge rushers around him? Does that affect your view of him, or is he this is a Pro Bowler, All-Pro type player still?
The Giants were trash.
They're bad.
In every way, shape, form. You talk about a defense that spent 99.7% on the football field. They had a quarterback that stayed in concussion protocol all season long. They couldn't run the ball, so their defense is just on the football field, and a guy that usually gets busy couldn't get busy. Look, I their coaching was terrible, too. I chalked that one bad season up to a bad season. If you guys feel like it's deteriorating, cool. I don't think I would overspend for a guy, but you're talking about a guy that commands doubles, right? You're talking about a guy that's going to command double teams. And so if this just say the price tag was, you know, first round pick, but in return, you know, you're getting back something. Like you're getting back like a, maybe a second or and you give up an, a future second or something like that. I would entertain it. Look, I'm all about beefing up the front with the best talent and players available. I don't understand. That's the issue. We want to be sold on an Alfred Collins and these guys that just aren't proven. And so we're hoping that these guys come in here. You're talking about the same guy that didn't, I don't think, play particularly too well in Dallas. But we do know that he's going to probably, hopefully, play well against us. Right. And I'm talking about Osa. I don't think he was great. He wasn't like the best defensive tackle in the league. But if you want to focus on the fact that he took on double teams and was able to withstand that and hold that down, fine. But sacks were low, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's just the same. It's whatever. So entertaining a guy like Dexter Lawrence, you want to change the face, the front of that defense, then, man. I mean, I think for me, John, I want as many one-on-one matches as I could get. Because that's when you're going to get the production. Dexter Lawrence is going to command some stuff up front. And it would beef up the rotation of the San Francisco 49ers defensive front. So now your Alfred Collins, your CJ West, those guys, they're just, they can start, they become rotation, whatever. It's fresh. It's always fresh. You know, fresh meat paws up front that can get after your quarterback. And I think that's what's important. You go back and find out which teams won Super Bowls. Well,
yeah. That D-line's huge. And every single team, all 32 teams in the NFL are better with Dexter Lawrence. There's no doubt about that. It's what it costs. And there's credible sources out there saying multiple first-round picks, and I'm just like, no. You add to that the contract. He's $20 million this year against the cap for a team that trades for him, $19.5 million against the cap in 2027, and he wants a new deal. So, like, it's going to be more. So if you're going to trade for him, you already have two heavy cap years, and then you got to pay on top of that. And right here,
some of that stuff, can't some stuff be reworked? Like, the Niners rework contracts all the time, so you can miss me with all the contract stuff. Like, let's just throw
but
that shit off the
window. He's 28, like, and once
now
a he
now, now now age is oh. different. Now age is different. But,
so let's say you do a 4-year, you rework the contract, like, he's going to want to be paid top tier. So now you're talking $20 million cap hits into 25, maybe even more. So can the Niners, they already traded for one. Look at CJ Gray right here in the comments. He says, we already signed a $20 million per year tackle. Is there room to do it? You could finesse some stuff. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
You talked about giving up pick 27 with a second rounder in return. You would do that. Like, you're
hell
open
yeah.
to that trade. What it, about even, 27 straight up?
Not straight up. Because you the thing that I'm looking for is the fact that I did that is because of the age, right? So you're talking about an age, you're talking about a big contract you're taking on and all that type of stuff. So I need some insurance, return policy insurance on this situation. So yeah, I'll take that money off of your thing. I'll even give you pick 27. We're going to do a pick 27, but draft a guy that, you know, you got a proven guy that can come in here. Now look, I will say this. Lynch, free agent wise, signing guys in free agency hasn't always hit the nail on the head. But I feel like when he trades for players, it works. It works out. It works out. And I know the Niners don't like trading for expensive pieces. So 9 times out of 10, it's not going to happen. But if they really was about that life, I would miss the money situation. I don't care about that. I would find a way to get this guy to come in here. You focusing on this season, and then you figure out ways to rework the money magic, because that's what we do. We do.
I
that.
Hate when they trade for a player, then redo the deal before he plays. I hate that.
I know, because it just messes that. You up in the long run, and I get it. But you're talking about a guy that, I mean, we did it with Christian McCaffrey. Did you hate it?
That one was a little bit different because there was no guaranteed money when they traded for it. So yeah, that was. But yeah, like CMC was in his prime. Dexter Lawrence coming off a down year, like he's got
CMC had down years. We were talking about he had injured year, down year. I mean, his best year was the year he had when he had the 1,000 season in Carolina. We didn't get him on for that year,
but they had him for half the year. And then redid the deal, right?
They did. It was a different type of trade. Different type.
I want to make sure the fit is good, and then do the deal.
I don't think that. You getting a guy like Dexter Lawrence would be a bad fit because he was coming off of a down year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's a great fit. It's just the price. The only question, it's just the price. Like, what are you willing to pay? If you're adding Marty, trade pick 27 or Kyle's going to draft a running back, Jadarian Price is going to be in that conversation.
Ain't no way we drafted a running back in the first round. That's not the only running back worth first round is Jeremiah Love.
He ain't going to be there.
He's not going to be there. So you guys can not worry about that.
What do you think of Jadarian Price, though?
Love Jadarian Price, but it's not happening at 27.
I have a second round grade on him.
Me too. 58? Now that's a question. You want to talk about pick 58?
He ain't gonna be there.
He may. These running backs are leery, right? Because Jadarian Price is not Jeremiah Love. See, Jeremiah Love, we only have one running back in this draft that I feel like can do everything, and that's him. And he's going to go relatively either top 10, top 12. He's not making it past top 15. I think there's not going to be a run on running backs because there's not that many. And so I think at some point they'll get taken. But maybe in that round two, you might start to see running backs go. And at 58, he might be there. He just may be there.
It's, you know, I'm looking at my big board, which is worth nothing. But like, this draft class is rough, man. And so like, stacking, you know, my 1 through 60. I ranked every first and second round grade I had, and I have a second round grade on Price, but he comes in number 32 on my big board. I mean, he's well down. I only have 16 first round grades.
I didn't say he wasn't a top 30 pick or a top 32 pick. I just don't. I mean, there could be a team that'll go running back late in the first round, but I think the early guy who's late in the first round, the Patriots don't need a running back. Who's after the Seahawks?
Let's see here. Yeah, Seattle
may take him at 32. There
Kansas
you go.
Kansas City paid for theirs. The Texans, no, they just traded for David Montgomery.
They're going defensive, yeah.
The Dolphins at pick 30, they don't.
No, they still got the fast young kid. Mm. See what I'm saying? So yeah. The only way I can see him going in the first round is that the Seahawks, they bump it. And the Seahawks don't care about position. They get talent. They don't care. They just go for the talent.
What are your thoughts on Jonah Coleman? Not in the first round, but we've brought
I
up
like Jonah Coleman.
Backs.
That's another guy. So that's kind of like my third guy, right? So Love, Price, Coleman, out of Washington. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Jonah Coleman.
I like him. This, like I said, pick 58. Nobody's talking about this, but it could be a running back. Why would it be a running back? Because Kyle Shanahan is our coach. Should it be a running back? Absolutely not. Will it be a running back? We're going to find out on day two. But
I really hope
guys.
They wait to the fourth. I just
please,
hope they
you got four of those picks, John. Please wait to the fourth.
Dude, I don't care if you take two running backs in the fourth round. Just wait.
Wait
to
the fourth.
Wait.
I'm with you 1,000%, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of those fourth round picks is another running back. Like, I just wouldn't be surprised because my theory is you may get a top 10 running back in round four.
This is a bad running back class. Bad running like back whenever class. I'm watching, I'm just like, ooh, I got one first round grade, I got one second round grade,
ooh.
I got two third round grades, and I got three fourth round grades. And I got Jonah Coleman in the fourth round. Like, nothing I like him.
I like
but,
him.
But and I don't think that he'll be available to the Niners in the fourth round. But I could
I like
not
the kid out of Nebraska
up.
Too. Emmitt
Johnson.
Emmitt Johnson. Because you If Kyle and Bobby say, yo, give me more of the power back. Because we got the scat back. We don't really got a scat back, but we got the faster backs. We got the running. We got those guys. But where's the power back? That's why I think it could be a Catron Allen or Emmitt Johnson.
I love Catron Allen.
Nah, Catron Allen is my guy.
I'm a big fan of him.
I mean, we're talking power runs, but he has a good one. Step cut, like one cut. He has that, right? Does he have home run speed? Not like Nicholas Singleton, but he's still hard to bring down. Hmm. That's your goal line guy, too.
Yep. Dude, I like that. But again, like, you know, Maria right here, is Kyle even ever not going to play CMC? So is this all just an injury insurance policy when we're talking running backs? I know he said that he's going to rest him more, but I believe it when I see it.
That's a good question, Maria. You have to look at it like this. It's hard. And Kyle said this, and I'm trying to get people to understand this. And I know we don't want to understand it because we see fit how we think it should be. But it's really hard. And look at my eyes. It's really hard, pause, to take Christian McCaffrey off of the football field. Because
when you have no wide receivers.
I mean, John's giving you the context. And I think the defenses recognize that, and that's why what did we do in this offseason?
Yeah, well, wide receivers.
You went wide receivers, And so now it's like, okay, I can kind of let Christian McCaffrey get a breather in here because now I got guys that can beat coverage. I got guys that understand how to get open. I have guys that can create separation. And so that's what Kyle did. He's not waiting for a Jordan Watkins to develop. He's not waiting for a Ricky Pearsall to develop. He's going after guys that are developed. And that sounds about right because he's trying to savor the flavor of a Christian McCaffrey. So I think you do get more of a spell of a running back this year because you don't have to worry about, you know, you need an extra guy that could be a pass catcher on the football field. I know a lot of people don't like Deebo Samuel, and I hate to bring him up, but in his defense, he wasn't great at wide receiving. He was great at making plays, but we had to use him as a wide receiver. Teams knew that. They defended him. They manned up on him. They pressed him, and he just couldn't figure it out, right? Well, that's what would happen to Christian McCaffrey. If you know you didn't get him some outside help, he just had to be on the football field at all times. I think it changes, so I wouldn't mind getting another running back. I don't know if Jordan James is the guy, but we'll find out in camp. I don't know if Isaac Arendo's the guy. More than likely, he's not, but we'll find out in camp. But if they draft a running back, I think you're thinking future too, right? Because Christian McCaffrey is going to be around how much longer? How many more times you going to pay him?
2 years tops.
Damn. I hate to see him go, but that's the way the game works. And I hope I gave you my eye contact, Maria, because I'm working on that.
I freaking love you, Wade. And right here, Ben, appreciate you, Ben. He says, you know, in order for the Kyle to play a real rotation, you have to have a running back that knows the playbook so the play doesn't have to change. And Kyle's talked about this. Like,
didn't even my question is,
you talked about maybe Jordan James is the guy. You had time last year to figure that out, but you were still running CMC up 14 points with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Like, you had time to get him work. But this is a huge Kyle critique. It's like, dude, get some of these guys some reps instead of having Fred Warner and Nick Bosa out there whenever you're up double digits in the fourth quarter or down double digits in the fourth quarter, which does happen as well.
Yeah, but that's the game, right? They go in there, they get repped, they mess up, you lose the lead, they fumble the ball. What happens?
That's what Kyle thinks. But like,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that though, because
now
that actually
you're in the
happened. Offseason
and you never had chance to evaluate. So now you have a question mark. You knew Brian Robinson was leaving, and like that's my thing. I believe in getting guys reps. Kyle does not, and for the very reason you just said. Shanahan's against that. It's one of my big Shanahan critiques. I think he's a great coach. I hope he's the coach here for a very long time. But like, I hate
my thing is this: you have
to get people reps.
I'm okay with that. I agree with that. But you have to earn reps, and so however that comes about, that's just old school.
Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush.
It's just the way old school football was. The only way you got an opportunity was due to what? Injury or mess up. Okay? If a person fumbles the ball, you're probably coming out. And so, you know, you just got to be ready for when your number is called. So, no, you're right. You're not going to get those reps. You're not going to be able to develop because you got to earn it. And if Christian McCaffrey, I know you said you're up by 14, you're up by this, whatever, whatever, whatever. You did start to see it toward the end of the season. You know what I'm saying? Jordan James was dealing with an injury early in the season. Who knows? Because the NY Niners just said, you got to be what? You got to know this playbook. Can't have running backs having the wrong protection and a pass play. Next thing you know, your quarterback get blown up. That's another reason why Christian McCaffrey didn't come off the football field.
Yeah.
So this is a lot, right? Christian McCaffrey is that all-purpose guy. And it's unfortunately that we got him in his prime and he's exiting the prime at some point. But it's hard to take him off the football field because of protection, because of knowing the playbook, because of being a mismatch nightmare, because of all those things. Now, camp will happen, and the number two back is available. And you know what? If I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm drafting another running back.
Yeah, I would too. With this roster, I think so. You need something. And I like Jordan James, and I want him to be the two, but I have no confidence in Isaac Garrido. I have That's way respect. More confidence in who'd they sign? Not TD.
Oh, Patrick Taylor Jr. Patrick so Taylor does Jr. Kyle. Yeah. So does Kyle. That's why they re-sign. How do you re-sign a guy that's coming off of an ACL injury? Make it make sense. You could have got a fresh guy. Nope. They went with a guy that what? Kyle Shanahan trusts. See? That's another thing. So I know we hate Kyle for certain things, and I get it. It for Kyle, it's about trust. He got to trust you. You got to earn his trust. And I think Garrido lost it, just like I think Brandon Ayuk lost it, just like I think a lot of players in Kyle's era have lost that trust. And you got to find a way to go out there and earn it back because they're going to replace you. It's the game.
That's the game, man. NFL stands for not for long.
Not for long.
Kimbro, thanks for the super chat. He says, JC and Wayne Breezy are the best part of my day. Man, appreciate the kind words.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you guys for always delivering. What are we doing for the draft? Man, I'm going live. Wayne, you're going live, right?
I know, that's crazy. Like, everybody, we're all going live. And I know people are like, why don't y'all just do it together? And we can.
We got to figure that out. Maybe
we just got to figure it out. Like, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, we got it. I don't like pulling people in a different way, but it's like, man, when that draft stuff happens, dude, one of the best draft moments of my life was when we were hanging out in Vegas. And we're like, got to hang out with Fred Warner and Elijah Mitchell. He was cool. He was cool.
Yeah, they both were cool.
He went Fred Warner. Nah. And who is Fred Warner? You know what I mean? We've had some pretty cool draft times and memories, man. I appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, I'll be live for sure. Days one, day two, and for the fourth round, I'm not going to do all of
it. Same here.
Probably. I'm just staying home this year. I'm not doing a draft event Same or anything here. Like that. Mm-hmm.
Same here.
Not doing that. What's up? Doc says, get him, John. Maria, on your eye contact. Wayne, you know I love your eye contact. My thing is Kyle Shanahan says that, and he has the opportunity to rest CMC with Jordan Mason, etc. Yeah, that Jordan Mason thing, I'm a big Jordan Mason guy still.
All right, so I gotta stop being defensive of this damn Kyle Shanahan. I don't know why I like him.
I but love him.
Hear me out. First of all, I think there was more tension between Kyle Shanahan and Bobby Turner when it came to Jordan Mason. That's number one. Jordan Mason
Bobby effed Turner up. Didn't draft him.
I don't got the bell sound anymore, but that's number one. I just want to put that out. Number two, Jordan Mason messed up his opportunities with the 49ers. Let me explain why. He didn't do anything wrong on the football field. It's what he said after week one in that game about, I forgot what it was, but he threw somebody. He wasn't supposed to say what he said. He said something about, I didn't know I was starting until such and such, whatever.
Matt Maiocco laid that trap for him, man.
Right there, I knew that moment. Jordan Mason effed up. What's that? You the moment you knew you effed up. It was that moment right there, and
when
I was like, "Dang,
it real goes we keep, wrong." You're in the Chappelle show.
Oh yeah, and all he did was keep it a buck because he's a young player. He's never been interviewed before, and bam, he failed that test. And that right there is what messed it up. Now. Was Jordan Mason burst? Was Jordan Mason? Yes. You know what Jordan Mason struggled, though? Pass protection. And I think that right there, I just think that kept him off the football field. He was only used when he needed to be used, and that was due to injury. And they had no other choice. And then what ended up happening to Jordan Mason? Got injured. Go figure.
He played pretty well last year for
Minnesota. Got injured in Minnesota, too.
He played 16 games, but he was kind of the change of pace guy.
Change of pace guy, yeah.
Yeah, 750 yards, 6 touchdowns.
Not bad for JM.
Not bad.
He's missed.
He averaged 4.8 yards per carry. I would have taken that in a heartbeat, man.
I love Jordan Mason. Don't get it twisted. It was something about Bobby Turner that did not like. Why do you think I said, and I'm probably going to be slayed at the stake for saying this. Remember? I didn't say it's on your show, but you got to reach, so I'm going to say it. I said it's time to move on from Bobby Turner. Yeah. I think moving on from some of the old coaches would help. it would help, right? And Kyle's been doing it, but there's certain guys he's not going to let go. I mean, he's just not. And so Bobby's got a job for life, and Bobby has a specific type of guy. And I mean, I hate to say it, but it's Tevin Coleman, it's Devontae Freeman, it's Christian McCaffrey, and them is them. That's it. If you're not built like those guys, good luck.
Yeah. You got to be able to do it all, man. You got to be able to do it all. Look at this. We got a super chat from the man. Nicholas Parra, my man, the godfather. Appreciate your super chat. What's up, my bros and faithful family? Niners just need to get a great player in round one. Draft a difference maker, high floor, high ceiling. Tired of reaching for mad guys. Get us a baller. So this is one of my questions. What are the chances of the 49ers getting a true first round grade player at pick 27? Now, let me add some context to this just so everybody understands. Just because somebody gets drafted in the first round does not mean that's a first round draft grade. 32 guys have to be selected in the first round. But for me, for example, I have 16 first round grades.
I had 20. So my question,
you have 20.
FOMO. Yeah, remember we had this conversation. Number 20 was my tight end, which we're not going to get because he's probably going to get picked up.
So the question is this. Is there anybody in that top 20 first round graded players that you think could fall to 27? When you
yes.
look through your list.
Ooh, no, wait, because you don't have. Do you have Jordan Tyson in your first round?
I do. I
Faller.
He's flagged medically. I don't take people off the board for that.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're having this conversation. That's a faller. Why? Because the medicals, right? But mother freaker, if Tyson is sitting at 27 and we got an abundance of wide receivers, I'm drafting the medically uncleared or whatever his problem with the guy because he'll be right. Give him a year. He'll get right. I would use 27 on talent over whatever they need right now. It's so funny we're having this conversation because this week's mock draft, you can check it out on my channel, was BP freaking A over everything, bro. I'm with Nick, man. I need difference makers.
Jordan, and now there's even rumors out there that, you know, he didn't compete hard enough last year. And, you know,
I don't give a
off. Like, the fall is beginning.
Good.
I'm telling you that.
Let him fall to 27. Place. That's the end of the first round to me. And let him fall. Let another Arizona State guy fall to the. I'll have zero traumatic, post-traumatic. I don't care. What I do know is we'll get the best 5 years of his career before anything happens. And if you feel he might be a head case, you ain't got a fifth-year option him. You ain't got to pay him. It'll be a great 4-year investment on a cheap rookie deal.
And that's a big reason why I don't like trading first round picks is because it's so financially just solvent. Like it's just easier. Now, here's Jordan Tyson's injury history, okay? In 2022,
here we go.
This is rough. It's going to take a minute. ACL, MCL, PCL tier. He did the big 3.
You got the Brandon Ayuk. I told you. They're exactly identical.
And then broke his collarbone in 2023. Then in 2025, he missed 3 games with a hamstring, but that has kept him out of all combine and pro day testing. He is still not testing. And that has been 8 months for a hamstring.
I'm okay with it.
The talent is there.
The talent supersedes all of that. It supersedes it for me because I built my roster. I built my room. I'm now ready to add talent that can supersede any one of those players in that room. You got an older declining, I guess, Mike Evans, who's on essentially a 1-year deal. And then I got Ricky Pearsall on a rookie deal. That's it. And I got Christian Kirk, who I feel like is trying to find his way back to a team where he can utilize his strengths, but another injured player. It just seems like it makes sense. And then if you get a guy with the talent of a Jordan Tyson, we talk about wide receivers. We're not even mentioning Jordan Tyson because we're so stuck on Concepcion and Cooper Jr., which is going to be gone. And these guys.
He's so talented.
He's so talented, bro. I gotta
He's Terry McLaurin, man. Like, he is Terry McLaurin. Like, that's what you're getting. And you watch him just create separation and the routes, and you've seen it over 3 years, three separate seasons. When the kid's on, it's on. So my question to everybody in the chat, he's 13th player on my board overall. 13th. Like, he's damn good.
Do you have him as your number one receiver? I'm sorry, I meant to ask you that.
No, Carnell Tate. I
still got Tate as number one, too. I got Tate number one.
Tate's my number three player in my class. Like, I just think he's as safe as they get. So my question to everybody watching this, if Jordan Tyson falls to 27, are you okay taking him or no? So I want yes or no in the chat. Are you okay taking Jordan Tyson with the injuries at pick 27? Or no, stay away, don't draft injured players, whatever else. Because, I mean, this kid is just – here's what I wrote. This is my draft write-up in the draft book. The magician, that's what I call him, smooth glider type of wide receiver, can do damage from all three wide receiver spots. He can play anywhere. Amazing hands. 1% drop rate. He catches everything. It's not even – he didn't even have long arms. He's just smooth and catches
great hands,
everything.
Great fingers. I will say this, though. If he wasn't injured, he'd be the number one receiver this year. And I love Tate.
I think that I'm fine with that. They went in completely different ways.
They did.
Different
they do.
Types of wide receivers. Yeah. But
Tate's the X. At the end of the day, like, that's your X. But this is a guy that can just, he's Yak, he's X, he's this, he's that. And I don't question his competitiveness. I think it's there. I think when players deal with some of these injuries, man, I think it really does affect their psyche a little bit. But we're talking about a guy that I think already went through, in my opinion, one of the worst injuries for wide receivers. When you tear all three CLs, right, and overcome that, I could live with a collarbone injury. I could live with a hamstring injury. That's just nagging. It'll get better at some point. I mean, we got a guy on our team that's suffering from hamstring injuries, two players to be exact, right? I could live with it. I think this talent, though, the ceiling, because Nick said he wants a high ceiling, high floor, high ceiling, whatever. Yeah, he's everything you want in a wide receiver that you may be able to get because of some medical flags. I think I can live with some of those medical flags. I know that's weird of me saying, but we talk about a player with crazy ability to be a playmaker, a difference maker, excuse me.
Yeah, he's so good, man. And my thing is, he's back-to-back first team all Big 12 since that injury. So, like, you know, yeah, you've got to check out the knee. You got to see where it is. But I want to stick with this idea that, like, man, he has overcome this. He has gone. And so right here, Gabriel, he says, no to Tyson, but yes to Tyson Chicken. My man.
Tyson Chicken.
Hard to argue. But yeah, the ceiling is there. It's just the ceiling is there. Are you willing to take the risk? That's the question. Mr. Superfly, John, random question. Are you glad the Niners are playing the Rams in Australia week one and not the Seahawks having their Super Bowl celebration? Man, my last game, you know, I was at that Seahawks game in the playoffs where it just got completely destroyed. Mm-hmm. I love going to games in Seattle. I mean, shoot, I think we're 4-1 in games I've been there. And I'll be back, but yeah, I'm glad we're not going back week one. Don't want to do that. But for anybody that wants to go to Australia, we got you covered. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going down under. The 49ers and Rams play in Australia to open up the 2026 season, and we got you covered. We are now taking deposits in a partnership with X Hospitality and True Fan Travel. All you have to do is go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, and you can sign up right there and get your deposit in. It's $499 deposit, but here's the kicker. Fully refundable all the way until the end of May, which that's going to give you several weeks after the official announce of the schedule. But we're trying to build this out and make sure that we have spots for everybody that is serious about going. So, however, if we fill up our spots and you didn't get your deposit in, then I hate to say it, probably not going to be able to travel with us. We're covering direct flights from San Francisco all the way to Melbourne. We've got 4-star hotels. We're all going to be staying together. I can't announce that until the NFL announces. They've got a lot of red tape on that. Game tickets, which is going to be very difficult to get game tickets for this international game. It's the first game ever in Australia. We got you. We got transportation to and from the game. We have all-inclusive tailgate before the game. We have a rally the day before the game with a former player. We'll announce that later. We're going to the wildlife refuge. We've got wine tasting and dinners covered. We've got you. So go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you like it. And again, if you're one of those people that's like, I'm not coming from San Francisco, we have non-flight options. So if you just want to meet. So everybody go check out if you want to come to Australia. And the NFL released their package. Our package is $2,000 cheaper, and we offer twice as much stuff. Theirs is just a game day, flights and hotel. That's it. We're covering for 6 freaking days. So anyway, go check us out, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. I'm very proud of what we have put together over there. Right here, John, appreciate the super chat. What are the odds that we are all on edge and wide receivers and the 49ers finally select a first round tackle? A lot of tackles in this draft class. There's a lot of tackles that fit at the back end of round one, depending on who falls. Blake Miller, Mike Iannatchor. You've got Caleb Lamu, Proctor. I don't think Proctor falls. There's a lot of guys there. And Vegas actually has the 49ers taking offensive linemen more than an edge or a wide receiver, which I bet very heavily on edge and wide receiver. We'll see how that pans out. But what are your thoughts on the 49ers taking an offensive tackle and how realistic? He asked for odds, so let's go with percentages here. What's the percentage you give the 49ers taking an O lineman at pick 27?
Now, O lineman is different, but if you're talking specifically about tackle, I don't have high percentages. I think the only, I will say this. If Vega is available, or Venga, however you pronounce his name, is available at 28, he somehow slips to 27, I can see the Niners drafting the guard out of Penn State. Why? It's a need. And it fills a position, a spot that they actually need. I know that they service their team. They got Robert Jones. They got this guy. Yeah, but we talk about the future of this franchise and getting a guy that could potentially come in here and compete to start on day one. I think that would be worth the pick. Now, if we're talking offensive lineman and a guy that you got to, like, that's a tackle that you got to kind of, like, coerce to play guard, that's where it gets tricky. I don't think that would be the best bang for their buck right there when you can just get an offensive lineman with one of your fourth-round picks or trade or do whatever. So my chances of them picking is slim to none. The percentage isn't high anymore. It was, but then they filled all the offensive lineman positions, right? And so now it's just more like, yeah, we want to see them address the offensive line. And it's going to happen, but it won't happen at pick 27. They're going to get a difference maker at pick 27. Whatever that position is, that's what they're going to get.
It's got to be somebody that can contribute now.
Now.
And so that's why I'm kind of with Calachipto here. If you draft a tackle, they got to be able to compete at guard. I don't think you just go for a red shirt tackle that sits behind Trent and then takes over in a year or two. Yeah. It's got to be somebody that can get on the field now. That's what I would say, I don't know, 15%.
Yeah, I was going to be in the 10% range.
Doesn't mean it won't happen. I mean, the board could fall weird and the guys that they wanted to take are gone. And they're like, you know what? This is somebody that could play guard, could help us this year. And then we could transfer him over to tackle. But, you know, I like this comment from Muhammad. The 49ers should move Colton McKivitz to left tackle and trade Trent Williams. Well, I like the first part. I don't think you trade Trent Williams. But
it's gonna be hard to trade him too.
Yeah, it'd be very, you wouldn't get much of a return with that contract and whatever else. But the plan initially when they drafted Colton McKivitz was to take over for Joe Staley at left tackle. They were that confident in the draft, but then they traded for Trent Williams. Now Colton McKivitz is what he is. I think that they would, I don't want to mess with Colton McKivitz because I like what he's turned into, but we'll see. And further to your point just about how you've built this roster, remember, last year they were fine with Ben Bartsch. They paid Robert Jones twice what they paid Ben Bartsch. Mm. Connor Colby now has a year under his belt and started several games last year. You go get Brett Toth, who has starting experience at left guard. You got three bodies that you can plug and play there. So if you get a tackle that you think could start at left guard and then kick to left tackle, I'm okay with it. I just don't see the 49ers operating under that construct. Haven't drafted offensive tackle in 4 seasons. Haven't drafted a center in 13 seasons. Not maybe not the fourth round.
Yeah, that like yeah. I expect them to get some type of combination offensive lineman round 4. You got 4 picks and players are going to fall. Right? Players are going to fall. There's going to be tons of center guard combos that I feel like could come in here and fit with the San Francisco 49ers. All I want them to do is whoever they draft just to be mean up front. That's it, right? Mean up front. And if they do draft the center guard combo in round 4, guess what? What if they find a guy that slipped out of the top 100 and they get that guy in round 4 at pick 127 and now you literally the Niners get a top 100 guy that could come in here and compete with a guy like Jake Brendel? Doesn't mean Brendel won't start the season, but it doesn't mean he'll finish the season when you invest in a player that could potentially take a spot. So pick 27, the way that they address the offensive line of free agency, which we asked them to do, just wasn't with the players we wanted. I think the Niners are ready up front. I think because we're loaded at offensive line.
They have more depth than they did last year. Across,
and I think the depth is better too. By the way,
I agree. All right, here we go. Here's a generic draft class question. In your opinion, what are the strongest positions in this draft class overall? What positions stand out to you? There's 3 positions that stand out to me. I'll go wide receiver. I think this is just kind of what it's going to be year in and year out as the NFL is transitioning to more and more wide receivers. Wide receivers are getting paid so much more money. College is basically 11 personnel now, or even 10 personnel at some point. There's just wide receivers everywhere. Same thing at high school. So wide receiver is one of the top. Is there another position that you think stands out in this draft class?
Yeah, I like the edge position. Because I think this is a draft where you can get the premier edges will go first. And then now you can start to say, do I need a speed guy? Do I need a run defender? What do I need? And so that's why I don't even think edge is going to be – edge might not be pick 27 because it all depends on who's available. And so I think you can find an edge literally rounds 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they come in and serve – a great purpose for the San Francisco 49ers this year. So I'm excited to see who the edge is, you know, because it could be a slew of different players because I think the Niners need speed. I wouldn't be surprised they went 2 edges in this draft just to build that room with young talent. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it could be a great draft from that position.
I agree. And one of the things I was, you know, I built like the NFL war room board where you stack everything horizontally, first round grades across all positions. It like I would not have said this, but the cornerback.
Yeah.
I have just first, second, and third round grades. I have 17 wide receivers. That's the most. I have 14 edges and 14 corners. There are so many corners that I have second and third round grades on. I mean, it is just stacked.
That was going to be my next room. I was going to say DBs overall, but the cornerback room is a lot stronger than the safety room. But there's some safeties that I just feel like you can grab if you're a Niner by round 4, depending on the way these teams come out and look at the safety position. But cornerback room, I think, is really strong. And I think the cornerbacks, believe it or not, in my opinion, I think the cornerbacks help themselves the most at the combines and the pro days.
Yeah, you got to be able to run, man. Got to be able to run. And so tomorrow, my show, little teaser, is Rush Crush episode, which is like one of my favorite episodes every year. I got 13. I'm borderline for 14, but I got 13 Rush Crush players that are just like, these are my guys. So my question to you, who are your favorite players? Not best players, but like who are the guys, I don't care if they've got a 5th-round grade, 4th-round grade, whatever, that you're just, is there a guy or two that stands out just like, this is my one of my favorite players in this draft. I just love this player for whatever reason. Is there anybody that stands out to you?
Yeah, man. I mean, I love me some Bud Clark, man. Look, I fell in love with him at the Senior Bowl, man. You know, pause or however y'all want to say it. But this dude, that moment just stood out. And it happens to me every year. It happens to me every freaking year I go to that stupid Senior Bowl.
Happens to the 49ers at the Senior Bowl too, though. You're not the only one.
point taken, you know? And it's crazy because, you know, where I think the Niners can get better, we talk about rushing the passer, do I stuff? Yeah, it's coverage from a safety position that understands safety, right? You talk about a guy that plays with good vision, good speed, and just understands the deep coverage portion part of the safety. Even I feel like when he messes up, he just has the makeup to just be in the right spot at the right time to possibly get an interception or a PBU. And I just love him. I don't know. I got a third round grade on him, but at the end of the day, that doesn't mean somebody's not going to snatch him up in round two. Like, I saw that right there is where this draft is going to get crunchy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm excited, but I would love for him to be a 49er.
How would you feel if they took him in the second round?
See, I wouldn't feel any type of way because that's my player. And I feel like he's a difference maker. So rounds one and two, I'm getting difference makers. Like rounds one, two, and three, like you're really trying to look through those players in the top 100 and you want guys that can come in here and be a difference maker. It's really hard to be a difference maker on defense because you're defending, but this is a guy that's a ball hawk, right? And we say we need a ball hawk. We need a guy that just understands how to hawk for the ball. And that's what he does. He's not your Thieneman. He's not your McNeil Warren far as the good pop. He's decent against the run. He's not great. He's decent against the run and run defense, but he is a hawk for the ball.
Yeah, he's a fun player, man.
The Niners are going to reach for their players
in his college career.
15. It's ridiculous. 15.
That's going to translate. 15. It's fun watching him play football too. Like you just watch him react to plays and just the instincts and watching tape. You can just tell the safety position, man. It is fun to watch whenever somebody plays with as much passion and heart as he does. Fun player. Ben, my man. Oh, this is a long question, but a good question. What position group or groups that look to be weaknesses for the 49ers last year coming out of this season might be a pleasant surprise this season with the same players? I'm thinking he says safety.
Yeah.
Mine right off the bat is safety, linebackers, and edge. Now, linebackers and edge were because of injuries. You didn't have Fred and you didn't have Bosa. You didn't have Mikel. So you're getting back those guys. You bring in Dre Greenlaw. Those are the two predominant positions. I'm not sure safety is going to be better. Maybe because of coaching. Jerry Gray was a huge addition that more people need to talk about as a DB coach. That dude did it, coached it, has coached it. Finally getting a top-tier experienced DB coach is huge in my book. But what about you, Wayne? Any other positions that you think will be improved from last year for whatever reason?
It's funny because he mentioned safety, and I'm sitting here saying we should draft a safety. And it's funny because the Niners may not look for a safety because they've invested in safety for the past 3 years. So it's funny because that actually may be the issue. They may feel coaching was the issue. We've got players. We got a player with speed, 4.3 speed in Siegel. We saw that he struggled with really like relocating the ball in the air. He was there. He just didn't turn around in time or whatever, whatever. So he gave up the big catch, gave up the touchdown, whatever, whatever, whatever. So by far, as a rookie, he was kind of like the worst in coverage, but he was there. So technique, that could be taught. They went and got the guys, right? You got a defensive, secondary defensive-minded coordinator right now. So safety could be the biggest improvement, you know. But I personally think it starts up front. I'm just going to go defensive line, not the edge necessarily. And I know the Niners were pretty stout against stopping the run last year, but I need them to be better. They gave up too many explosive plays, in my opinion. Too many explosive runs, which negated getting gashed and giving up first downs and took away those third and long. So I think the Niners up front got to be better. I would like to see a better pass rush, but that defensive unit up front just got to be better.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, man, Niners on the Go podcast, go check them out. I haven't listened to this show yet, but I need to. He says, I think guards could be better, need a lot better play than last year. But you got to remember, like, Connor Colby started week one, seventh-round rookie. That's never in the cards.
He gets pulled several times. Ben Bartsch goes in, looks good for a couple quarters, gets injured. Then you move Spencer Burford, who had been playing left tackle all of camp, into left guard to kind of, you know, duct tape up the position. And he did his job. It wasn't great, but it wasn't whatever. So, yeah, there's a lot more. Connor Colby's going to be better than he was last year after a year, you know, full off season and, you know, having done it. And you have two guys in Brett Toth and Robert Jones that have a lot more experience as well. I agree. I think the left guard spot is much better than last year. And Wayne already talked and kind of alluded to that. That's one of the ones that I think is huge. In the wide receiver position, I don't think people understand just how bad the 49ers wide receiver room was last year. It was atrocious. And yeah, you know, very thankful for what Juwan Jennings did, but he's the only wide receiver that caught a touchdown.
Only one.
That's it.
Not even Ricky Pearsall got in the end zone.
No touchdowns. Not once. The whole
season.
Got
caught on the goal line. Like, I'm telling you, yo, like, that position right there, Kyle made it his business to address in the offseason.
It was bad, man. And I said several times that, you know, I thought the 49ers had one of the worst wide receiver rooms in the NFL going into the playoffs. And then you saw it, that Seattle game. I mean, that was just embarrassing.
Couldn't create separation, couldn't get open. And here we thinking some players that we had in the past were, yeah, it was tough. And health didn't play, health wasn't on our side, but you got to be prepared for that. You got to be prepared to not have your guys. And when the next man is up and they can't create separation, that affects your run game, that affects your quarterback play. Damn, I can't run the ball, so I got to try to make a play. And we talk about a player and Brock Purdy. That, did we forget that he had turf toe for like the first 17 weeks in the NFL last year? I don't know if we remember that, but dude had a bad toe. Well, not toe, but foot. You know what I'm saying? And found ways to make ways and make plays and extend plays and this is that and the third. And you could see that he wasn't on the same page as every receiver. You could see that his trust was in Juwan Jennings and Juwan Jennings alone. He started to trust DeMarcus Robinson. That was it.
That was it.
Ricky wasn't there enough. You know what I mean? Like, it was weird.
And he wasn't fully healthy, and like, it was just a mess. It was a mess. I expect good things from Ricky moving forward. Health is
me too. Same here. Health is the biggest question mark. Yeah.
Chris, Mr. 49er, I love this. What do you guys think of Anthony Hill Jr., the hybrid linebacker / rusher? I love Anthony Hill Jr. I'm a Longhorn. I'm biased. I would love to know Wayne's thoughts. If not, I can go on for days about this young man. He's incredible.
I mean, if you're talking what he does best as far as, you know, off ball, edge rusher, like, that's, this is it. This is a Raheem Morris guy. I'll leave it at that, you know? And so, in that stint, I wouldn't be surprised if he's picked 58, right? I wouldn't be surprised. This is a player that we're not necessarily talking about because he's not your traditional edge, right? You talk about a guy that could be an off-ball linebacker. You talk about a guy like Jalen Walker. Well, who drafted Jalen Walker?
Yeah. Yeah, Raheem Morris.
Right. And so now you're looking at a guy that has that same physical build, has that same ability on the outside, has that same ability to play off ball. Like, there's so many ways you can utilize it. And we're talking about a guy that's probably going to run, a coordinator that's going to run multiple fronts. You're talking five-man fronts. You're talking, it's just going to be, he would be a nice guy to have up front. So a player we're not talking a lot about because we're thinking traditional, pay attention. He might be the guy.
Man, I have a second round grade on him. He's my number 27th player in this class on my big board. Like, this is a weird class. And once you get past pick 15, there's not a big difference between pick 16 and pick 50.
Pick 50. Oh,
like,
God.
Maybe even
right.
A large. Like, there's really, really not. And so, yeah, if you told me you got Anthony Hill in the second round, I'd be psyched. I doubt he will be there. His upside is just. The athleticism, the production in the SEC, that, like, I just don't think that he'll be there.
Good guy off the field. Yeah. Like, everything's going in his favor.
Former five-star athleticism. Like, if you like Jihad Campbell.
You know that was my guy last year.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
And where did he go? He went back into the first. and he had injury concerns. Anthony Hill, much cleaner evaluation. I don't have Anthony Hill's tape as high as Jihad Campbell's, for sure. But similar player. I mean, there's just some stud linebackers in this class, man.
Like
that's why I said, like, if you go off ball, he's that. But what if they don't? What if they don't use him in that way? And so, like, that's the key. Like, he has the ability and the versatility. Now, do we go with a versatile guy, or do you go with a sure speed guy off the edge? Do you? I don't know. That's where it gets tricky. But do we need an off-ball linebacker? Sure. I mean, you only signed Dre Greenlaw to 1 year. And so, like, it's a dog, right? So yeah. It could be him.
Yeah, that's a lot. Look at this. Niners on the Go podcast again. The gap from between 58 and 127, I feel like the Grand Canyon. I hate it.
The only person.
Yeah. I trade back from 27. I'd like to trade up from 58.
I trade back from 27. I want to trade still within the first, but I know if I do that, I potentially won't get a third. Miami screwed me up because that would have been the team that I wanted to trade. If they effed me up, right? Because
and now they're sitting at pick 30.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Will they still
got pick 43 though. Miami has pick 30, you know, three spots behind the Niners in the first. They still have pick 43 in the second round.
Yeah, but who are they moving up to get? Like, if they wanted to move up to, Miami and New England would be the two teams. Seattle's not trading with you. And so you got to look at it like that. I don't think Houston is going to trade pick 20. What are they, 28? That's not happening. Yeah,
These are the picks right behind the 49ers. 28, Houston, 29, Kansas City, 30, Miami, 31, New England, 32, Seattle.
So Miami and New England are your hope to trade back in the first round. The question is, who are they moving up? And usually guys aren't really moving up unless they're kind of getting a quarterback. Both of those teams don't need, no, because who else would need... All right.
Somebody come up for a quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. So
and now,
like,
you're talking top of the second round.
Ooh.
Jets 33, Cards 34, Browns 39, Vikings 49, Steelers 53. Those are my quarterback needy spots.
I like the way you're thinking, because if Miami is looking to take Ty Simpson and the Jets want Ty Simpson, we got ourselves a ball game. Now, the kind of Niners kind of control what they're going to get back to. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, either way, the Niners need to trade with the AFC East team. That's my thing. That's what it comes down to.
And, man, I'd be so happy getting 2027 draft capital in that trade back. Like, I'd prefer to get, you know, a third rounder back this draft just so you could have something there. But, dude, 2027 draft, oh.
I need a third round pick, guys. How much talent we and look, I like the Osa tree.
I do too.
I wish we would have gave up only a fourth rounder.
Yeah, it's always the price. It's not the player. The player is never the problem.
Oh, yeah.
The price. Yeah. Price of the brick going up.
What was Malik's deal though? Was he a one year?
Big time. Malik.
Was he? Yeah. How many years did he do?
Let's see here.
Malik. Was it 2 years? 1 year?
Willis. Malik Willis, right?
Yeah, because that will tell us.
It's a weird deal. It's at, the cap hit. I mean, it's a crazy contract. Only, what's the guaranteed? $45 million fully guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
$67.5 million deal. So 3 years, $67 million. It's the same deal that Geno got. It's the same deal that Sam Darnold got. It's that same thing.
His job not safe is my point. And they still might go with a younger quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, if I'm Miami, I'm not going to let Ty Simpson go to the Jets.
Yeah, somebody's got to want a quarterback. And the funny thing, like, everybody talks Ty Simpson. Garrett Nussmeier is my number two quarterback.
That's my number two quarterback, too. Like, I just – people don't care about him, the guy from LSU. I think he's the most poised, polished quarterback in this draft. It is what it is. But Ty Simpson is the Alabama guy. Garrett Nussmeier, LSU guy. However you want to look at it. Those are your top three quarterbacks. Mendoza,
yes, I agree.
Nussmeier, Simpson. After that, it's a crapshoot.
Ah, right here. Are we stuck with Mac Jones? That's not a bad problem to have.
Yeah. I don't necessarily say stuck, but I know people wanted a pick, but we're not getting what we wanted. Kyle Shanahan wanted like 6 first-round picks for Mac Jones.
Dude, you give me a top 50 pick, I'm trading them. If the Steelers offered pick 53 straight up, I'm trading them. I'm doing it.
That's why we not GMs, because John Lynch is asking for a first-round pick. I guarantee it. And that's okay. That Miami means he really doesn't want. Well, Miami's not doing it because they just signed Malik Willis, but they will invest in a rookie quarterback because they're not paying that money.
Jets are tanking. Cards are tanking. They're not doing it. Browns, maybe. But they've got two of the quarterbacks they're going to work out. Vikings, maybe.
Yeah.
They traded for Kyler. I think they're pretty happy with their room. Steelers, I would.
Steelers need a QB. But the question is, who will be Mike McCarthy's guy? And I think Mac Jones would fit.
Yeah. Oh, man, I got to get out of here soon, but I see the legend Paul Hope in the chat. He says, who do you not want? Like, who is the guy, and I don't usually like to do this, but my man Paul, you know I love Paul. Who, if they picked this player at 27, you'd be like, nah.
I don't know.
Is there anybody that stands out where you're just like, nah, bro? I'm scrolling.
Maybe Keldrick Falk. Not because he's a bad player. I just feel like he's a player we got, so we'd be repeating ourselves.
Redundancy.
Yeah, it's kind of like where I am. Because let's just say we went Peter Woods, I'd be happy.
Ooh, not gonna lie. Even with those injuries.
But then there's injury. Yeah. See? Right? And so I know we talked about Jordan Tyson injuries, but that's different, right? It's different. But the thing I do like about Peter Woods is his versatility, his meanness, his ability to line up inside, outside. Just sounds like a Niner guy. I can't really call it. Like, let's say we went defensive interior guy. Let's say we went Caleb Banks. Let's just say I wouldn't be mad. He's injured now, but I wouldn't be mad.
You can use it. You can use it.
I wouldn't understand it, but I wouldn't be mad. Like, you know what I mean? So I think the only player, even though there's redundancy there, you're getting another big guy up front. Like, right? So now you're looking to have, like, Twin Towers and Alfred Collins and Caleb Banks up front. That would be crazy.
And see, this is the problem with the draft for me. Like, there's nobody I'm in love with, and they're all kind of like, yeah, but players. Like, okay, I'm not a Caden Proctor guy. One, I don't think he's going to be there at 27. I think he's going to the Lions. But if you drafted him, I'm not sure he's a tackle for the 49ers. But you put him at left guard, and I'm just like, well, damn, that's fucking awesome. Pardon my French. I have a low second-round grade on him because I don't think he's a scheme fit. But you put him at left guard, I'd be like, hey, your team just got better. You know, I'm not a KC Concepcion guy. But I get it. He creates. Caden McDonald, not a Caden McDonald guy. I feel like
you're not running on him, though. I could tell you
it's
that.
It's the redundancy thing that you brought. I got you.
I got you. Yeah, I'm with you.
But that's a quality player. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're over here talking about trade for Dexter Lawrence. It's like, man, you get a young defensive tackle. Now you got this 4-man defensive tackle rotation. You're in good hands. Like,
which can happen, John. God dang it. I swear to goodness, if we go defensive tackle again, I'm going to take a break. I'm gonna take it, especially after you just traded for one and then you draft another one. I'm like, and I get it. I'm cool with the rotation. I think that was the first thing I said. I get it. But man, rotational guy in the first round opposed to getting a difference maker in the first round.
You know what player I think I'd be most upset with? And this is probably CJ Allen, linebacker from Georgia. I just wouldn't understand that. Because he's a great player, but he has to call a defense. I'm not taking that out of Fred
Hand. Yeah, you're not moving on for your. It's the same thing how I feel about Robert Rodriguez.
Jacob Rodriguez.
I'm thinking of the actor, the director.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. I think he's probably a better linebacker than CJ Allen. I think he's better. Yeah, but he's your mic, and the Niners don't need a mic. They just don't need a mic, and that's unfortunate. Somebody's going to get a really good couple of good linebackers in this draft.
Both those guys. But, like, yeah, I don't want them playing Will. You can put them at Will.
That was funny that I said Robert Rodriguez. Definitely thinking of the movies. I do it all the time. So it is what it is.
Oh, man. I love it. This is fun.
Pre-show. I love talking draft talk and just sit back and relax. And too bad I didn't have
I didn't get through half my notes. I didn't get through half my questions.
We got sidetracked, but the beer would have helped. And we would have probably been here for another 2 hours.
Niners
one of the Rodriguez's.
Here's the thing. I find, like, I haven't been doing a lot of shows because I've just been crushing out this damn draft book, which is done now. So go check it out, the49ersrush.com, any level, or our Patreon. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the gym after this. But, like, yeah, I think I might play some video games. I'm going to kick my son off.
Even better.
I might relax just a little bit.
I'm in a relaxed mood, John. I'm not sure if I'm going to do anything else other than clean today. I just feel like cleaning.
Hey.
I feel like checking the other three of my tires, making sure there's not a nail in there. I'm just in that. I'm in that mode.
You might have a Jordan Tyson car where three.
Oh my gosh!
There we go. We go back. Wayne, you are incredible. Thank you for making my day better. Thank you for all the knowledge that you bring, for all the research you put in there. And yeah, man, you're a freaking legend. Take us out of the show, man. Let's wind it down.
Faithful man, I don't know the time stamp or we're down to, but today is April, I believe, the 6th.
Seventh.
I was close, right? I'm a day behind. And we are like 2.5 weeks away from the draft, man. Almost 3 weeks. So it's about to go down soon. We'll figure out who pick 27 is. Stay locked and loaded right here on the Rush Podcast channel, guys, because we're going to have a tremendous amount of time. And we'll be back next Tuesday talking more draft talk. See you guys then. Keep it faithful to the Bay.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.